Hey friends, I'm Ashley.
Hey you guys,
I'm Lainey.
And this is Haunted Real Estate.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry this did not come out sooner. Lainey and I have had some either illnesses or just scheduling conflicts. In fact, today I was like, we still have to continue to record. So today, my husband and partner in life and business, Casey, is on the podcast.
Hi there. Here I am.
Here he is. So, yes, I still want to stick to our deadline. Thank you for sticking with us on the Hot Mess Express. And yeah, Lainey's not here today, so it's a little bit weird.
I'll do what I can.
Okay. Be and sound just like Lainey.
Oh, oh God.
Wow. Is that how you, that's how you hear Lainey?
Sometimes.
Okay, so you probably all already saw the title of this episode, the Hoyabachu Forest in Transylvania, also known as the Transylvania's Bermuda Triangle. So I first want to give a little history, a little backstory of Romania, because I think it kind of helps lay the landscape, if you will. So we're in Romania, specifically the region of Transylvania. Transylvania, which is perfect for today's episode, literally translates to the land beyond the forest.
So Transylvania is like a region of Romania?
Correct.
This is the same, like Dracula, Transylvania?
Yes.
Okay.
And we'll talk a little bit about that. So this land has seen a brutal medieval history, and then there's lots of myth, legends, folklore. Now, because this region was so steeped in conflict, at the very least, there is an energy there. And we know of Bram Stoker's Dracula, as Casey alluded to. And Dracula is not completely made up. It was definitely twisted into fiction, but it is based on a real person. And that person is Vlad the Impaler. So Vlad the Impaler was born in 1431 in Ciaugura, which is now Romania. Vlad was the second son of Vlad II, Dracul, Knight of the Order or Dragon. And Dracul also translates to dragon or devil in Romania. So already sets the stage for very creepy.
Was he just like misunderstood or was he really a bad guy?
He was really a bad guy, but he also had a really rough background.
Because based on the movie Dracula Untold, he was a very noble guy who was just protecting his people.
Vlad was or Dracula was?
Dracula, who Vlad is, or is based on Vlad.
So we'll get into it a little bit, but some of the locals of the time saw him as a hero because he was protecting his people. But we really can't discount the fact he was a brutal motherfucker. So he wasn't just imprisoning people or, you know, just straight up killing people. I mean, he was brutal. So we'll talk about it. And then you know what? I'd be interested to hear what you think after we talk.
I'm pro-impaler. Is that what you think?
Yeah, are you pro-impaler?
I've changed my vision or my stance.
So Vlad was in captivity most of his childhood. And at age 11, he and his brother were sent as political hostages to the Ottoman court, where they witnessed the empire's brutality and where Vlad learned his future preferred method of killing, impalement. So the trauma endured during his captivity under the Ottoman Empire led to his lifelong vendetta and hate. And it was hate for the Ottomans and basically...
Sorry.
You're thinking of Seinfeld. Empire
based on...
I knew you were going to say that. Finish your sentence.
I can't remember. But
he was a...
I'm putting your feet up.
Seinfeld. Yeah, it's on a Seinfeld episode. I thought about it too when I was writing it. And of course, when I was writing this, I didn't know I was going to be sitting with you. So of course, you're going to bring it up. Yes, an Ottoman based on putting their feet up, which it wasn't. That was just, you know, Seinfeld. So his brother, Vlad's father and brother were murdered and he really had nothing but anger in his heart. So he did everything he could to rise to the top so that he can eventually have his revenge. So he took the throne in 1456 and fear
is
what...
That was a good year.
fear was what he excelled at. This is literally just like having a conversation where it's an interjection of just some random like... Comedic interjection. So eliciting fear and terror in others is how he held power and why myths of him have grown over the last 600 years. After a nighttime raid on a Turkish camp with one of the greatest known sultans of the Ottoman Empire, who was on his way to evade, Sultan, it's either Mem or Mehmed. I kept hearing it as Mem, but there is a D at the end of it, and it's hard for me to not want to pronounce that. So M-E-H-M-E-D, Mem or Mehmed. Vlad's army had impaled 20,000 Ottoman prisoners, impaled, so that Mehmed, when he showed up, he would have to go through what was called the Forest of the Dead, all these impaled 20,000 Ottoman prisoners, which did initially work because the Sultan and his army looked at that and retreated. And the Sultan actually later wrote about his troops that they had, quote, lost heart at the sight, end quote. So is that not like the most horrific thing? I mean, that's hard to look at that and think that like that's a good guy.
Was this an invading army?
Well, it's the Ottoman Empire, so yes.
So, I mean, yes, it's brutal, but if he is like repelling a attacking force, I mean, I don't know. It seems like it served its purpose to repel them.
Okay, so pro-impaler. Got it.
don't cross me. That's all I'm saying.
Sheesh. So I think of that as horrific. I'm not sure of what I think of him as a leader, but to look at both sides, yes, it may have served a purpose, but also, are we doing the right thing here? I can't really speak on the Ottoman Empire. I was not a teacher of world history, so I don't know enough about the Ottoman Empire to venture an opinion on what I thought of them, but yeah, I mean, I also can't really say I'm pro-impaling, so. And impaling was not his only method of killing. He also decapitated, skinned, disemboweled, and boiled people alive. And his hate was not just reserved for the Ottomans or invaders of his territory. It was for anybody that he perceived as a threat. If he perceived you as a threat, you might be screwed. Apparently not you, though. You don't seem like you would be a threat to Vlad.
What? Would you openly be a threat to him?
Probably I think not. I'd walk out the back door and never come back again, because I don't want to be like some rumor about me to go around and then I'm like, next thing I know, I'm being boiled alive or freaking impaled, yeah. You know, outside of his castle. I'm good.
It sounds like he had a rough life leading up to that point.
You're right. So he did have a rough life leading up to that point, and he was just kind of trying to take back what he felt was like rightfully there. You know, they were supposed to be leaders of that territory. So, of course, the 20,000 impaled Ottoman people, prisoners, spread stories all around the continent. So legends grew about him and his brutality, especially in Germany. Vlad was later captured by the Ottomans. He escaped, and when he regained his seat in 1476, he was actually killed the same year in battle. And what's even more interesting is it is believed that he was killed in or around the Hayubachu Forest, which is what we're discussing today. So that might lead to some more strange things and occurrences that happened in the forest. So by the end of his reign, he killed an estimated 80,000 people. While there's no arguing that he was horrifically brutal, like Casey apparently is, he was also a hero to many Romanians for his initial success in keeping out invaders. But historically, he's gone down as a violent man, and probably the good did not outweigh the bad, but we'll leave that to you guys to decide.
History is written by the victors, though. So who knows?
You're right. Ultimately, you guys, there's two sides to every story. Maybe Vlad was misunderstood. Now I'm going to go on a whole Vlad deep dive and figure it out. So moving on from Vlad, let's talk about some of the folklore of Transylvania and why so much of it exists. So Bram Stoker did not make up Dracula, like we said, in his 1897 novel, Dracula. There were legends of Strigoi that he really took as his inspiration. And if you ever read or watched the Strain series, you hear a lot about the Strigoi and many of these legends. So I read the books.
Careful, Ephraim.
So Casey and I watched the series two different times, like over, you know, like several years. And I also read the books through almost twice. I didn't end up finishing the series the second time because some of the music in the background was like made it so intense. And then, of course, like 1,800 other books ended up coming ahead of me finishing the series again. But I did read through the series at least once. Very good. They're by Guillermo del Toro. So I would definitely recommend checking them out if you like horror novels, which I do. So Strigoi are kind of like the OG vampires. They are the powerful undead who drain their victims' vitality through blood consumption. And due to the geography of Transylvania, surrounded by the Carpathian Mountains and dense forest, there is a natural isolation that really allows for stories and legends to persist. And of course, the topography also fuels the narrative of spooky creatures and stories of the supernatural. So I wanted to put in the title Transylvania's Bermuda Triangle because that nickname, it to this super creepy piece of real estate called the Hayabachu Forest, is very mysterious like the Bermuda Triangle. And it has about as many missing people. Well, maybe not as many. I don't know if it's just as many. But it has a lot of missing people. People lose track of time from minutes to hours to potentially even years. Sicknesses like nausea, dizziness, anxiety. It has all the same feels and stories of the Bermuda Triangle, except it's in a forest on land.
So wait, people went missing for years and then showed back up?
Possibly, and I'm going to share one.
Oh, all right.
So we are in Transylvania, Romania. That wasn't clear, just outside of the Cluj-Napoca, which is the main city in the heart of Transylvania. So this is supposedly one of the most haunted forests in the world, and it might be one of the most haunted, mysterious places in general in the world. And while many do claim that name, and I say that all the time, like, oh, this is also one of the most haunted places in the world. If you look at pictures, it is storybook creepy. Like, you don't want to get lost in this forest because every creepy cryptid here, kind of creepy. Some even go as far as calling it a portal to hell, which also another portal to hell we talked about when we talked about when we were in Czech. So the forest has been compared to sort of the creepy landscape that Washington Irving wrote about in Sleepy Hollow. So the forest is about 618 acres. So it's definitely not the world's biggest forest, which just to compare it to the world's biggest forest, which by the way is the Amazon. The Amazon is 1.4 billion acres. So this definitely pales in comparison as far as size goes, but it is very dense.
And how many acres is Central Park? Do you know?
I don't. Do you want to look that up on your phone real quick and let us know?
I'm just curious for reference sake.
Yeah. So people throughout history have taken strolls through the forest because, like I said, it's not all that large and it doesn't look like it's going to be intimidating in size. So you might just think, oh, we'll just take a few hours walking through the forest. I can't read it.
What's Central Park in New York City is 843 acres. So okay. It's smaller than Central Park.
Smaller than Central Park. Interesting. And so because of its smaller size, many have been tricked by this unassuming forest and go in and possibly never come out again. So parts of the forest are very dark during the day. Even a mist descends upon the forest, giving it that really spooky vibe. So except I don't even know if I would want to make a visit here, even though I want to visit a lot of haunted places. I don't want to go to any place where I can get lost and just never found again. It's one thing to go into like a haunted house. I know my way out, unless I hear stories of like people that never come out of these houses. But in general, like going into a haunted house and a haunted forest are different feels, wouldn't you say?
I think it'd be kind of cool to go to a creepy forest, but not stray too far in, I guess.
Yeah, not stray too far in. I agree with that. But yeah,
I think I'd be way more hesitant to go into some creepy house than I would a forest.
Why a house over a forest? Because like the forest is so unknown. Like you don't know what's going to be there. That's not like, but why would you not go into a house, but you would go into a forest?
Because it's so confining in a house. I don't know. It seems creepier. You're the one who showed me the H.H. Holmes murder house.
Murder castle.
Murder castle. So.
Well, okay. I see what you're saying, like with murder castle, with trap doors and stuff like that. You're right. That is creepy. But like a house where murders or something like the Lizzie Borden house or something. I would not have an issue going in there. The Conjuring house. I would not have an issue going in there. I mean, I would like prep myself. I wouldn't just like walk right in and feel nothing about it. You know, like I'd kind of like mentally prepare myself for that. Probably Palo Santo myself, which is kind of what I do every day anyway. Yep. Gotta repel that negative energy. But yeah, a forest, I just feel like, I don't know, we've talked about this too with like scuba diving, like going into the deep ocean. Like there's just no interest there for me.
I don't think I've ever been scared in a forest. Houses have creeped me out. So I'd rather be in a forest.
Have you found yourself in many forests? I've not known you to be in many forests.
Anytime I'm out in the wilderness, I've never felt nervous or creeped out by it.
Hmm.
But there are houses that are just
so eerie. Camping, like camping in a dense forest, how does that sit with you?
I mean, I don't know. Let's do it. Find out.
No.
Okay, then I think we're at an impasse.
Well, I'm just saying, how does it sit with you? It doesn't sit well with me. I watched Blair Witch Project. There's no fucking way. Like, I don't need to sit there and then come to find out. Like, there's no help There's no cell service. There's no, you know, like that's way creepier to me.
Yeah. I mean,
the weird animals, like I'm in the territory of other things versus a house, which usually I'm not staying in a house that I'm not allowed in. I mean, maybe the spirits don't allow me, but someone allowed me to be in that house versus the forest, which might completely reject me, suck me up, eat me, take me.
Well, I wasn't considering like sleeping in a haunted wood. I just walking through the woods has never creeped me out.
All right.
That's all.
So one of the most fascinating things about the Hoyabachu Forest, and we see this in other creepy forests, we've talked about this before, is a very strange anomaly where there is a circular clearing. And they literally just call it the clearing or Poyana Rotunda, which just translates to the round meadow. So Poyana Tunda, or Tunda, I'm so sorry.
Rotunda,
yes. I've got allergies, you guys. Allergies makes me not be able to read, apparently. So in Transylvania, yeah, the Poyana Rotunda, the round meadow, it's at least 200 years old. So it's not as old as the forest itself, which is kind of interesting. It kind of looks like a meadow. So there's a lot of people that are like, there's nothing creepy about this. It is a little bit weird that it is just kind of this clearing out in the middle of dense woods. Like, why are trees also growing on it? So it's a little bit conflicting on what people think about it. Some people don't think it's weird at all because there are meadows. Other people think it's strange because of how dense the forest is and the strange trees and the very rapid growth of the trees. We're about to talk about that in a second. That it is weird that this clearing exists. So it just looks and feels different, but it's only
like a perfect circle.
It's not a perfect circle. And that's the thing is a lot of people say it's a perfect circle, but when you look at it, it's in no way a perfect circle. And there's a lot of people that say nothing can grow on it. To me, that is like barren if you say nothing grows on it. But then when you look at pictures, there's some grass. So you can't say nothing
that
grows on it.
That grass is digital.
You think so?
It's all a cover up.
Yeah, it just depends. So it depends what sources you're looking at. It does appear that there is grass and that it's not completely barren. It just doesn't have trees, which I do think is kind of strange. But also I, you know, I'm not like a horticulturist where, do horticulturists do that?
Sure.
Okay. I'm not a horticulturist or a person who studies plant life that good really definitively.
Or a dendrophiliac.
What is that?
Pretty sure that's somebody who's attracted sexually to trees.
Okay. Well, I'm not that either. Moving on.
Pivot.
It does have, I had a feeling that's what that was, but that I was like, I could be the weirdo who's just thinking that way. So it does have higher than normal iron oxidized levels, which is believed to come from lightning strikes. But in this clearing, there is no radiation or other toxins known. Other studies have concluded that the forest's strange twisted trees growth patterns is 300% faster than other neighboring woodlands. So that is weird. And it's believed that the trees grow in these kind of strange ways. And other strange growth patterns include, of course, like the twisted trees. Some of them grow in arches. And then there's even some trees that are like 6 to 8 trees coming out of one root. So those things are weird. And it's believed that there is a magnetic field that interferes with the plant hormones. So now they've been conducting geological surveys for over 30 years in the Hoyabachu Forest. And they've identified erratic magnetic fields, which has some intensities that reach more than 3 millitesla, which is equivalent to an MRI machine. So in addition, there are infrasound frequencies, which you may not register as an actual sound, but its frequencies can cause vestibular disruption and temporal lobe excitation, which basically means that these frequencies can cause anxiety and even time distortion. So there is possibly, albeit not a definitive explanation as to why there's this off feeling in the forest. But many people and like large groups of people might all be feeling something strange, or everybody has some sort of time distortion while they're in there. Not everybody at different times. I just mean when like large groups of people come out, like groups of 5, 10 might all have a time distortion. And then furthering the study in 2019, a team from the Babes Boya University recorded a 40-minute discrepancy between atomic clocks inside and outside the forest.
So
go ahead.
They're saying that time moved differently in there?
Yeah, like it moved the atomic clocks.
Oh.
And there were 40 minutes off from each other after one clock was in the forest and the other clock was outside the forest. And this kind of thing happens with high electromagnetic interference, such as like volcanic zones. We see this.
But let me guess, there's no volcanoes there.
There are not.
Interesting.
So let's start by talking about how the forest got its name, Hoya Bachu. The name of the shepherd was Bachu from the 19th century. He went into the forest with his 200 sheep to allow them to graze and literally disappeared into the forest.
All of them?
All of them. Like the sheep too. They were never seen or heard from again. No clothing, no animal or human remains have ever been found. Like they evaporated into the forest. Or what some people say is the forest is hungry and literally just swallows up life that goes inside of it.
That's weird.
There have even been, and this kind of like goes back to like people do just kind of evaporate in there. It seems like they have found footprints in the snow of hikers or, you know, whatever, that literally just stop. Like it's people's footprints and then it just suddenly stop and there's no more footprints.
So they get lifted out.
Yeah. Like they're just being lifted up. So super weird. And now another missing person's a 5-year-old girl who disappeared into the forest. So this one is weird, but we're also not 100% certain of all the facts since there's multiple versions of this story. But this one is one of the most talked about stories and legends about the Hoya Bachu forest. So there was a 5-year-old girl playing near the forest one day. She wandered in. Her family noticed she did not come back out. So they went to go look for her and she was nowhere to be found. And in many cases of the Hoya Bachu, there's no evidence that anything happened to her either. No sign of struggle, no like pieces of clothing, no blood, no nothing.
Are there any bodies of water in there?
No, I did not read about any bodies of water. And based on like I Google mapped it and stuff, I didn't see any bodies of water. So huge groups of people, they had lengthy searches looking for her for days and for weeks until they literally just lost hope of finding her. And 5 years later, she showed up. So she should have been 10. And this is where the story varies. She either emerged from the forest as a 5-year-old that should be 10, but did not age, was wearing the same clothing like nothing happened with no recollection to the time difference. Or the other version is she came out in the same clothes, but as a 10-year-old with no recollection of the time difference. So either way, 5 years went by, she's in the same clothes. And in both versions, she had a 9th century coin in her pocket that was perfectly preserved, which if it was left in the forest, wouldn't be perfectly preserved unless she went back in time and it was like a new coin. So either version is super weird and disturbing because she only thought she was gone for a few minutes.
So when did this supposedly take place, or did it say?
It actually didn't say, but there are skeptics to the story.
Interesting.
But the story is on almost every source you read about the Hoya Bachu Forest.
Do they call this a specific story?
What?
Do they have a name for this legend, or is it just...
They just say that the 5-year-old missing girl is kind of how you see it start. I want to say that this predates the shepherd that this was named after, but I'm not positive because you don't really find like on this, what the skeptics would say, like there's no definitive records about this, but I actually think this one does predate that story. But like we said, time distortion is one of the very strange anomalies of the forest, but not many people have a time distortion of years. This is one of the fewer ones where there's years that have been misplaced. So another story relating to time distortion was back in 2005. Two German tourists went into the forest during the daytime on a hike for what they thought was a few hours, and they actually disappeared for over 18 hours into the next day and had no recollection of where the 18 hours had gone. To them, they were just gone for a few hours. Their cameras did contain strange shadow and blurred figures that were sent to the Hoya Bachu project, which I'll talk about in a little bit, I'll just talk about it in a little bit.
So they were gone for 18 hours.
And they thought they were just gone for a few.
Were they hungry?
So I think they were hungry. People thought they were dehydrated and...
But that's recent enough where there should be good documentation of everything, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, they sent it to the Hoya Bachu project, but I don't have like their medical records or anything like that.
Well...
Sorry.
How dare you?
Sorry. With any of the haunted real estate stuff we do, because it's paranormal in nature, it's harder to find the hard facts of things. So another strange occurrence happened in the 1970s of a mother and her 10-year-old son walking through the forest, just having a fun day of exploration, when suddenly they both felt a biting chill and then they were enveloped in a fog and lost consciousness. The next thing they knew, they woke up in their home with no recollection of how they ended up there. All they remembered was the fog that came over them. They lost consciousness and then they woke up at home. So
like same day or? Was there any?
I think it was later that day or maybe the next day. It wasn't, I don't think it was more than 24 hours.
Interesting. Could this be like a military testing site?
It could be. There were a lot of, well, there were like military people that have done research on this land. Like, did they do something weird to the land? Maybe. I don't know. And I don't think they want us to know, so we're not gonna know. So let's get into some of the theories and a little more history that could maybe shed some light on the strange occurrences. So during the Middle Ages, around the time Vlad the Impaler was on the throne, there were approximately 200 peasants that were hanged in the forest, either out of just pure slaughter or potentially for maybe like a religious offering. We don't know. We just know that these 200 peasants were hanged in the forest. So, and again, was it Vlad's doing? I don't know. Did they think he was, you know, trying to overthrow him? I'm not sure. It wasn't a similar time, but I'm not saying it's while he was holding the throne. But many believe that the 200 souls in the forest, that their souls may actually be trapped in the individual trees that they were hanged from. Because some of the trees have a weird, like, reddish color, which people are like, that's the blood from the people that were hanged there.
So they're like Ents.
Yes, they are like Ents. God, I hope they're Ents. I hope they're good Ents who help the hobbits through the forest. Yes, done. Oh,
we hobbits.
Mystery solved on this one. So many, there are many reports of like when the wind blows, you can hear voices, which I don't know if you've ever had that phenomenon happen to you, but it's happened to me before, especially in our old house, because we lived, for you guys, obviously Casey knows this, we lived not too far from the school. And when the wind would blow and like I would be outside, you know, my kid's bus was going to come in like 10 or so minutes, I'd go sit outside and just kind of hang out outside until the kids got home. I would catch a wind where I could hear the voices at school, and it was such a strange occurrence to me. I'm like, I'm not saying that's paranormal. It is normal if that happens, not paranormal, but it is weird when all of a sudden you don't hear anything and then the wind gusts and you can hear like kids laughing and talking, like suddenly a group of people when I didn't hear a group of people. So this has happened to me before and I think it's super weird. But there's a lot of reports of that happening in the forest where the wind blows and you can hear voices of, sometimes it's women screaming, which is terrifying. Sometimes it's children's laughter, which is terrifying. And other times it's whispers.
Also terrifying?
That is terrifying, yes. But whispers, I think, is more one of those things that you could maybe chalk it up to something, especially if they're like indecipherable whispers. But like women screaming, no, that's not going to be good. Children laughing, why does that have such a creepy, like...
Because children are creepy. That's why.
Sometimes children are creepy. So ultimately, oh, the other report that people report...
Is that what they do?
Yes, the report that people report.
Was it done by a reporter?
It was done by a reporter, yes. No, it was by the hikers and other people that are in there. But this is in multiple, and I think it's super weird, is teeth chattering sounds. Like, what's that about?
Like the little comic wind-up chattering teeth?
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me of World War Z.
Yeah. I was just thinking that when you did that. I hate that guy. That part creeps me out.
I know what I'm doing in bed later.
By yourself. I won't be there for it. Nope. I love that movie. That movie's so good. So yeah, the teeth chattering is creepy as hell. But I also wonder where that comes from. Like, thankfully, I've never been present for a hanging or anything like that. But like, is that a sound that maybe comes out? Like, where would the teeth chattering come from? Or were people maybe thrown into the forest in the winter and that's the sound of people freezing to death? Like, I don't know. I just find that interesting that that's in multiple reports.
What if it's their own teeth chattering and they don't realize it?
I know when my teeth are chattering.
But if you're losing track of time, because like my jaw's clenched and you're losing track of...
You're right, maybe. Or maybe it's a cryptid.
A what?
A cryptid.
What does that mean?
Oh, babe.
What's a cryptid?
Cryptid are like the weird creatures, like the Wendigos is a cryptid.
The Wendigo, yes.
Stop. Did y'all know that on Supernatural that Casey and I literally had this argument because we like Supernatural? And on Supernatural, they call them Wendigos. And I said something to Casey and I said, the Wendigo. And he was like, it's Wendigo. And I was like, it's not. And he was like, they didn't get that wrong on Supernatural. And then we go and look and it's literally like on, was it Reddit or something?
Yeah.
It was like, why on Supernatural do they pronounce it? Like, it was literally like an isolated thing.
It was
thing.
A topic.
Like, yeah, it was a topic that just on Supernatural, they pronounce it Wendigo, which is hilarious. Because it was
filmed in Canada. That's why.
Yeah, but they're not Canadian.
Sam.
Like, isn't Jensen Ackles, like, isn't he from Texas?
Yeah, I don't know. That frustrates me.
Don't quote me on that. I think he's from Texas. I'm not positive. Anyway, so the weird sounds, the chattering, the screaming, a lot of that people believe are from the souls or the ghosts that haunt the forest. But the same souls also may account for the shadowy figures or the feeling of being watched that many, many hikers and tourists claim to see and feel. An excavation was done in the 1960s that did uncover human remains that were from 500 BCE to 106 CE. An archaeologist believed that the forest area was used in rituals by the ancient Dacians, which
Dacians.
Is Dacians, D-A-C-I-A-N.
Dacian.
Yeah. Which was a Thracian tribe.
Spell it.
T-H-R-A-C-I-A-N. But more than that, it's believed that civilizations have used the forest for upwards of 10,000 years.
Well, it's no wonder it's so fertile.
So shit has gone down for a long time that we have no idea about. We're just really talking about more recent history and like recent, like the last couple hundred years. But like we can't account for 10,000 years worth of things that could have happened in that forest. So it's got an energy for sure. People claiming to see figures in unfamiliar clothing in the woods could be potentially ghosts from thousands of years ago.
Or aliens.
Dude, my next topic was aliens and UFOs. So thanks for that very obvious segue.
I didn't know that.
I know you didn't. But the last thing I was going to say on that is that there's also languages that people are not familiar with, which again, like 10,000 years ago, they weren't all speaking the same language of today. So aliens and UFOs. So before I get into this, I do like to share my thoughts on aliens and UFOs. I am not a diehard believer or non-believer in extraterrestrial life. I am open-minded. And I do find it hard to believe that we are the only life that exists in the entire universe. But literally, I can't say more than that. I don't know definitively about aliens or anything like that. So I'm a skeptic also of alien sightings during the Cold War era because of the space race. And I'll tell you where my trust in what people believed during the space race kind of died was when we went to Roswell. I told you that too when we were there because we went through the alien museum because of course there was the Roswell crash, which if you didn't know, did not actually happen in Roswell, New Mexico. It happened in Corona, New Mexico, which is like 100 miles away. So why this little town was like, it happened here, I don't know. But that's literally their claim to fame. We went in 2018 and we went to the alien museum and everything alien related, all alien sightings all happened during the Cold War era. And then nothing ever since. And I was like, you know what? Like if you watch this, and maybe a lot of y'all haven't because it's pretty awesome, but also outdated for our time, is The Twilight Zone. Mm. The Twilight Zone is a Cold War era TV show. And so many things in that show were alien related.
Yeah. Roswell was disappointing. It was underwhelming.
It was very underwhelming. Like if you're going through a pass through, that's fine. We were kind of going through a pass through, but we went out of our way to go to Roswell, not super far out of our way. We were on our way to Colorado. So we did not have to go through Roswell, but we were like, let's take this, I don't know, at least a few hours detour to go to Roswell and spend 2 days there before we head to our final destination in Colorado. And I, you know, being in that museum did not make me believe in aliens more. It made me believe in them less. It at least made me believe in people less when they talk about these sightings, not necessarily the belief in aliens.
Just, I like the, there's like one piece of ruin. I can't remember if it was some Mexican ruin or something, but it has that guy. It's like an old engraving of what appears to be in a spaceship. Mm. Can't remember what that one was called, but that was neat because that's, you know, thousands of years old.
So Casey and I have a lot of like in-depth porch talks at night, and we definitely, like, I could go off the rails and come off as a conspiracy theorist, especially to Casey, who's, yep, like, okay, to who is very logical, needs, you know, like facts and science. And I mean, when you get into like religion, there's a lot of things that are just built on faith that, you know, it's not necessarily something you're going to see, but you know, we started talking about like the Egyptians. Like I could believe that aliens help build the pyramids. Like, I don't know. I don't know that it was just slaves doing it. And I think that's kind of crazy.
I don't think it was aliens.
Casey doesn't think it was aliens, but that's fine. But like, so there's things like that. Like, I'll be open-minded to it. But anything that happened, I swear, during the Cold War era, I'm always skeptical. Because everybody all over the world had space on the brain. And there was never more UFO sightings more than the 1950s to the 1980s. In fact, after the space race, many UFO sightings pretty much stopped. I mean, not all together, not all over the world. Plenty of people still report, you know, weird sightings. But they did drop dramatically after the space race. So I don't think that's a coincidence. So I'm not saying that any of these were or were not legitimate. I believe people had sort of mass hysteria all over the world, and space related things were just so prevalent for the time. So, okay, that's just my little disclaimer and Ashley Thoughts, brought to you by Ashley.
So you're a conspiracy theorist.
I mean, sometimes.
Yeah.
But I also take things with a grain of salt. I don't think I buy into like every weird theory somebody has to explain something. But unless I can definitively disprove it, I'm like, maybe that happened. Sure. Why not? I think there's weird things that happen all the time. That's going to be something that isn't going to be explained by something that we can just immediately understand.
Yep.
But you know what? Let's save that conversation for another time, because we can get down a crazy rabbit hole of things that I'd be open-minded to. So Hoya Bacciu, back in 1968, a military technician, Emil Barnia, and three others were camping in the forest. Now, two of them, after this happened, which I'll tell in a minute, they wanted to remain anonymous. The other one was his girlfriend, Zenfira Matea, which was, like I said, his girlfriend and was also witness to this event. So they were picnicking at the clearing, okay, that area we talked about. But I can't say for certain, but Barnia was either they were picnicking or he was picking up firewood. But either way, they were over at the clearing when hovering over them was a saucer-like object. And the picture is weird. I'll show you the picture at the end because it's kind of below all my notes. Lainey knows where to reference it, but you don't know where to reference my pictures.
Okay.
So he took two pictures before the object, like lightning, just like flashed and was suddenly gone. And so we'll link the pictures. We can link the picture, but the University of Cluj-Napoca dismissed the images and claimed that Barnia was a drunk and that it was a weather balloon. And I am so tired of hearing the weather balloon. Can I tell you, I've never seen a weather balloon.
Why do drunks get blamed for everything?
I don't know. It's always
That's
a drunk.
Fair.
You're right. It's not fair.
He's a drunk.
Yes, obviously you're not in your right mind when you're drinking, but you also don't hallucinate. So like there was something there. Maybe it was a plane, maybe, but probably not, because they said it was a weather balloon. They didn't say it was a plane, but it's always a fucking weather balloon. It's so annoying. But there was also no scheduled weather balloon at the time, and not one that would be in the shape of a saucer. So communist, though, at the time, again, 1968.
But if you're directly underneath it, wouldn't it just appear to be a circle, not a saucer?
Yeah, but here, let me just go show you the picture. Hang on. It wasn't directly under it. It was kind of diagonal. I don't know. But these are the other like weird shots that were taken at the forest. Like that one's weird too, right? It's like a big old jellyfish in the sky.
Yeah. Kind of looks like the alien from Nope.
I don't know what that is.
That one was wild.
Is that a movie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So he got dismissed, and actually Barnia actually ended up losing his job over it. But I'll tell you what, Americans found it interesting because we did not dismiss alien talk. We liked it. We still like it. But it has been studied and it's been deemed by a lot as an authentic picture. Now, obviously in 1968, it's a lot harder to edit photos. And I mean, from my phone, I've cropped myself into photos when Lynn likes to leave me out of photos. She's our boss. So, you know, it's super easy to do today, but back then, and obviously like AI, but 1968, that would have been a lot harder. So it's been deemed,
especially for a drunk.
Poor Barnia. So it's a weird picture, I will say that. And because the 60s would have been hard to edit, I don't think it's a weather balloon, but there's obviously people feel that that clearing is due to either UFOs landing or that there might be something underneath it. Very
Worlds of the War. You said it backwards.
Okay. War of the Worlds. That it something's buried underneath it.
that would explain the clearing. Temporal disruptions.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Maybe. So just some little other anecdotes about the forest. Upwards of 1,000 people have vanished in the forest. There was one source that I found that said one researcher found a bird that was thought to be extinct, and it's actually not even a bird that would have been found in Romania, even in ancient times when that bird would have existed. I think it's called a bustard, which kind of further fuels the folklore that this is either another dimension or some sort of time portal, because why was this random bird just hanging out in the forest?
Maybe it's like your favorite show, Outlander.
Oh my God.
Maybe they're all in Scotland.
Maybe. There is some weird, like, I didn't get into it just because it didn't seem super prevalent. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of information about it, but there are some weird, like, stone structures from potentially those like ancient tribes that were there. So maybe could be a portal.
You know,
I believe it.
Stonehenge was actually like a well mapped out calendar. Like they were able to track the stars and the sun based on the spacing. It was actually a very
interesting,
you know, well-designed timekeeper.
So not aliens.
No.
You and I will just always have slightly different beliefs. I don't believe that Stonehenge came from aliens. I just want to make that clear. I just like to poke at Casey.
I don't have a problem with aliens.
Yeah, you're pro Impaler.
Mind your business.
Okay. Another strange occurrence is people having people driving along the roads of Hoya Bachu, and they think they hit someone. And usually this is reported as they think they hit an elderly woman. And then, of course, they get out in a panic and there's no one there. There is just some sneaky old woman ghost that walks out in the middle of the road to make you think you hit her.
Sorry, it's not funny, but it's kind of funny.
Well, you can laugh at it. No one actually got hit. Campers have often reported, and again, I don't know how many campers are actually there. I didn't find a ton of reports on people camping, but there's some. Campers have often reporting red glowing eyes at night, and then hoof sounds around their tent that sound like it's coming from a very large creature, something that would be at least bigger than a deer. Either like a very large deer that's like, you know, radioactive or something.
So people who go in, not everybody experiences like the distortions and is that?
No, but I kind of think like volcanic activity, there might be certain times where it's going to be heavier than others. That's not going to be a consistent thing all the time. And again, I'm not a scientist, but I'm sure like the rain, the sun, the temperature, the weather, you know, air pressure, like I'm sure all that has an effect on how, like, and the individual person too, like how you're going to, like what your experience is going to be different. And then others have, and this is kind of weird, and I heard this happen, I think, on Ghost Adventures, but I didn't end up getting to Ghost Adventures. Other reports of people that are getting scratched while they're not walking by anything. And at points, like, it even draws blood. Huh. So, like, something mysterious is just scratching them. And so, like I talked about earlier, there's a lot of dark tourism in Hoya Bachu. The Hoya Bachu Project was founded in 2012. They offer guided night tours with EMFs. And they're really just trying to learn as much as they can about these strange occurrences in the Hoya Bachu Forest. Many locals do believe that the intense energy of the forest can be harnessed for good. What they recommend, in case you decide to visit the Hoya Bachu Forest, is when you're passing under the natural archways, which many of the trees, like we said, they're arched, they're twisted. Some of them are like very interesting looking. But if you go under any of these natural archways, it's encouraged that you make a wish because you can use the energy for good. And as a general warning, if you decide to go through any forest, travel with a group, stay on the damn path, and use markers, especially if there is no path. Let others know where you're going, bring a flashlight, first aid kits, and whatever else you need to stay safe. And we never recommend that you take a stroll through the woods by yourself. Casey?
I would never go by myself.
Okay, good. Any questions or last comments you'd like to make on the Hoya Bachu Forest?
Well, that was pretty interesting. I want to go read more about it myself.
So you can debunk everything I said?
I'm not a debunker, but I was going to say, every time you say Hoya Bachu, I always hear, ho, I bought you. That's what I hear.
Oh, okay.
So, ho, I bought you.
Hoya Bachu. So, Hoya Bachu.
Yeah, that's what I hear though.
So if you have any story recommendations or just an interesting real estate story, you can email us at hauntedrepod@gmail.com and go follow us on Instagram at haunted.real.estate. And please, if you could rate and review us on your preferred podcast platform, we would be so appreciative. And I think that's about it. Okay, cool. Miss Jelani.
He didn't give me any prompting. I didn't know.
Okay, so we'll just end there on that last awkward note.
That's how we
usually
do it.
Lainey has some kind of goodbye. Casey had nothing.
I wasn't prepared.
Say goodbye to the listeners, Casey.
Goodbye, listeners, and I'm sorry.